This is Near FM.
Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I want to welcome into the studio now Councillor John Lyons with People Before Profit. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, John, and to your listeners. Glad to be here again.
Thank you very much for dropping in.
Cheers.
I was asked to ask you about the Northside swimming pool. Why there are so few hours available to the public?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's one I've actually put to the North Central Area Manager, to which I hope to get a fully comprehensive answer on Monday at our North Central Area Committee here in Bunratty, because there are so few hours for the general public. It's literally only on a Saturday between the hours of 10 a.m. and 1:45. The rest of the week, unfortunately, you have the Monday and Sundays the pool is closed, and then Tuesday to Friday it's clubs and schools. So I've put in a request for a full report in terms of if it's a staffing issue, a funding issue, with regard to the hours available for the general public to use the pool, because it is a great amenity to have in the area. But I think it's just not good enough in terms of so few hours in a full week for members of the general public. Now, as I say, the clubs and schools get it during the week, and I think we need to look at to see how busy it is during the week, how many different groups from the different schools and clubs are actually using the pool, and to see if that may be a way to rejig the schedule so as to facilitate more hours for the general public. So I'll have more information on Monday, but just to say now that it's not acceptable, and I think we need to breathe a bit more life into the pool, and for it to be, I think, felt amongst the general local community that it's their pool. And from what I'm hearing of late is most people, you know, they don't think it is, because they don't have really decent access to it. So it's something we're going to have to work on over the next few weeks now, I think.
Yeah, and swimming, it's such a great exercise, and you know.
Look, I run myself, marathon coming up in Connemara in a couple of weeks, but swimming is, they say, by far and away the best all-round exercise, and I think particularly, and it is great that the schools and the clubs have it on their doorstep, so that children at a very young age can learn how to swim and hopefully remain lifelong swimmers, because it is such an all-round healthy exercise, keeps people in good shape. Keeps the lungs nice and strong. So, but I do think it needs to be opened and for more people in the local area to be able to get in there for a swim on more than just the one day or half a day in a full week. So it's not acceptable, and we'll have to do something about it.
And there's a charge for the public to use this.
Yeah, to be honest, it's $4.50 for an adult. For kids under the age of 18, it's €2.20. Now, again, that I'll get some more information on Monday with regard to the financing of the pool, and to see how it's actually operating in terms of the finances. I don't know if that can be looked at in terms of the €4.50. From what I know of other pools, it isn't. I think that's reasonable enough, but my main worry is with the number of hours that it's open to the general public. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, but maybe you let us know.
Yeah, I will indeed. Yeah.
Now, I want to move off on, because there's two things I want to talk to you about, and I think they're related. One is Ambar Planala's decision to grant permission to adjacent to St. Anne's Park. The other one is I read an article, I don't know how true it is, that the Minister for Housing was actually trying to ban County Council discussions on planning applications. How true is that, John? Or is it?
Oh, no, it's most certainly it was true. We responded as a City Council to a circular that was issued by the Custom House, by the Department of the Environment, the Minister's Department, several weeks ago, which was basically to say that any pre-planning application meetings that we have as elected members, in which we seek to find out a bit more from our planners in an objective fashion, just to go through the various planning applications are out there, significant ones, just so that we can become au fait yeah. with the details of it, because we get queries from constituents. Not all of us are trained up as planning, you know, planners and planning lawyers and barristers. So many councillors and constituents need guidance in terms of particular applications, just so we can be informed. And the circular that was issued was basically implying that somehow we were having a undue influence by having this information, that we were somehow going to corrupt the planning process, which to my mind is an utter nonsense. So we actually had to call a special meeting on it, and we don't do this very often as a city council, but we found that the circular really was an attack on us by the department, on us as elected representatives at local government level, in order to be fully informed of planning issues in our area. So we had the meeting. It was very well attended, and we basically heard from our own planning department, who themselves were surprised to receive this circular from the department. So we've written to Owen Murphy, the minister, the charge, the responsible minister, to say that this isn't acceptable, that we are, as elected representatives, allowed to have the facility of pre-planning information meetings, and that we have every right for that, and that our constituents expect us to be fully informed of any planning applications in our area. So we haven't had any further update on that response, if there's been a response to the letter that we sent. But it was just to say that we can't have national government interfering with our democratic right to have information provided to us on planning pertinent to our area of the city. But I do think it's part of a wider strategy, because the implication that somehow we were having undue influence in the planning process as city councillors fits in with a change that was made to the planning laws last year, that any planning application of 100 residential units or more would pretty much bypass Dublin City Council as the planning authority and go straight to An Bord Pleanála, and that you wouldn't have any right of appeal with An Bord Pleanála. All that would be left to you is a judicial review of the decision reached by that particular board. The normal, just for your listeners to know, the normal planning procedure is that a planning application is lodged with Dublin City Council as the planning authority. They make a decision, an adjudication on the merits and whether to grant an application for development or not. And if any parties aren't happy with that decision, that can then be appealed to An Bord Pleanála. But unfortunately, the government, again, this Fine Gael government, under its Rebuilding Ireland programme, which has failed at every level to address the housing crisis, introduced this change last year, which was to fast-track developments of 100 units or more, bypassing Dublin City Council and going straight to An Bord Pleanála. And I think we've seen this week, over the last week, the appalling decision that An Bord Pleanála made in the face of not only the submissions made by myself and other local councillors and TDs, by the hundreds, I mean there was over 1,000 observations made in relation to the playing pitches at St Paul's, which is right beside St Anne's Park. The Chief Executive of Dublin City Council himself and his planning department recommended that the board refuse to grant planning permission for this, because it's a wholly inappropriate planning application looking to build over 536 units, over 100 houses and 432 apartments in five blocks of eight stories, and it would absolutely destroy the amenity that is St Anne's Park. So we had all lodged observations to say that this is you know, an appalling and greedy development that's been sought after, that actually will destroy the habitat for the Brent geese, which are one of the most important St Paul's pitches, that were the feeding ground for these Brent geese, 40,000 of which winter in Ireland and are actually protected under the North Bull Special Protection designation, which is a part of the EU Habitat Directive. So the destruction of this feeding ground is actually illegal under European and Irish law. So we thought we had a very strong case as to why An Bord Pleanála would have to be left with no other option but to refuse the application. But unfortunately, John, they they granted permission with very, very little conditionality on it, which was pretty... it took the whole community of the north side of Dublin in particular aback. Many of us are aghast. And there was a meeting last night in Clontarf Castle to which I'd say there must have been at least 400 people in attendance. And there's another meeting in Raheny this evening in the GAA club, because we have to look to undo this decision, whether that's by judicial review, which I think we have a good chance on, but also I think I mentioned last night the issue of civil disobedience, because we cannot allow poor policy decisions made by national government politicians with regard to planning in this city, which have lifetime consequences that last for decades. We cannot allow such poor planning decisions to be allowed ruin what are the lungs of the north side of the city, which is St Anne's Park.
Now, is this going to go into a negotiation situation? Or because the Oscar Traynor Road up here, the same, there was the same problem where they were talking about 8 stories high, and then they reduced it to 6 stories. And
yeah. Yeah, again, see, I just think at the moment we have an ad hoc approach to the housing crisis, and in terms of the utilisation of public and private land across the city of Dublin. So where we do have parcels of public land that are zoned residential and serviced and ready to go for development, we unfortunately have situations where the council is pursuing a public-private partnership model, which I'll tell you, John, I was elected in 2014. This current proposal, which takes in the Oscar Traynor site, was first presented to us in February of 2015. We are now in April of 2018, and we are tortuously proceeding at a snail's pace through a pre-qualification questionnaire stage. When you go through such a convoluted process with the private market, it means that years are wasted, rather than the state itself, its various agencies, including Dublin City Council, putting out a tender for a contractor to come on site to build. What we have are different developers coming into the process and pitching their particular pitch at Dublin City Council as to what they can build on the site. And it means that months and years are wasted, and we have no further news or updates on that particular development. And my fear is that because it's over 100 units, that when it does go into an actual planning application, when one developer is selected through the tendering process, that again it's going to bypass Dublin City Council as the planning authority and go straight to Ombar Pranala, and we could be left with a situation similar to St Paul's at St Anne's, where all of the local representatives, residents groups, sports groups and the like, who want to have their voices heard, are ignored, and that the developer, whoever that may be, gets exactly what they want with a decision made by Ombar Pranala, through which the only legal recourse we have is not an appeal, but a judicial review in the courts, which costs thousands of euro.
I just want to go back. Why? Could you explain to me why Dublin City Council and other councils are seen to be moving away from actually building houses themselves?
Well, look, I think the point was made by Patricia King, the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. She was in at the Housing Committee in City Hall a few months ago, and she asked why was it that in the 1970s and again in the 50s and the 1930s, when Ireland was a much poorer place, how was it we were able to build so many houses? How was the state able to afford to pay for and build so many high quality homes, and that we're not able to do something similar here in the 21st century? And I think, John, we've just had an attack over 30, 40 years on the idea of the state providing high quality public services, whether that be in water, waste, but particularly also in housing, and that more and more of it has to be left to the private sector. And I think what we've seen is a huge attack where private is always seen as more efficient, as more cost effective, and public more cumbersome, more costly in the long run, and all this. And it's actually not the case. The state has the resources, is able to access money way more cheaply, has the economies of scale with which to actually deliver housing much more efficiently at much more reasonable prices than the private sector, who are always obviously looking to create a profit margin out of their developments. So I think we've had that attack on the idea of the local authorities providing housing over a good number of years. And we think within People Before Profit on Dublin City Council, and there's others on the council too who've been making the argument that we need to start building up the capabilities and the capacities of the local authority so that we can once again start building directly the public and affordable housing that the people of Dublin City so badly need.
Okay, John, if you could let us know on Monday.
Yeah, I will indeed. I'll come back in. Hopefully I'll have more information with regard to the pool, and I'll be back in touch in relation to the next steps with regard to the development around St. Anne's Park as well.
Yeah. And the Bargantown site, the hub there, that seems to be taken forever.
Yes. Again, another very poor policy decision by the previous Minister for Housing, Simon Coveney, when he promised to have every family moved out of hotel accommodation by June of 2016. His solution to that was to build these new family hub style accommodations, which are basically institutionalising homeless people into another type of setting. The one here in Coolock, up in Greencastle, the Bargantown site, was meant to have been finished by September. We were told it was going to be finished by the end of October, and we're now into April and it still hasn't been opened. So again, this is, you know, private contractors on site not delivering on time, and God only knows, but we'll be putting in questions as to the cost overruns involved in this. But again, it just shows the poor policy decisions that have been made at a national level with regard to housing are costing us, every single person across the city of Dublin and the country, a lot more in taxpayers' money when we could be directly building the social, public housing and affordable housing at a much cheaper and faster rate. It's flabbergasting to watch it in action, the inefficiencies, the time delays, but there's a steadfast refusal by those in national, and unfortunately by many at local government level, to move away from a dependency on the private market and to look towards the public state agencies as the provider of housing and other services. So it's a battle we're involved in. It's an ideological battle, you know, which has undermined the idea of the public in favour of the private over the last number of decades, as I say. And it's a battle that we'll have to keep on fighting until such time as we see common sense prevail.
Unfortunately, we've ran out of time, John. We could probably stay around here for hours talking about it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again.
We will indeed, too.
Hopefully not about the same problems.
No, hopefully we'll have some movement on them anyway. Yeah.
Okay, John. Thanks very much coming in to me this morning.
Cheers.
Thank you.
This is 90.3 Near FM.